I don't understand what's going on here. Someone is playing a trick on me. And if it isn't J.R. or Colby, well, then it must be that dead Dixie. If you hear a song, your stereo ain't on. Who you think it is? Ghost Dixie? When your buttons are torn from a shirt you've worn, who can it be? Ghost Dixie? I'm not going crazy. Dixie's dead, she can't be haunting me. That crazy Dixie. She's nuts. A glass of bourbon into the chimney goes hurling. Who you think it is? Ghost Dixie? Her glamour shot appears when it's been gone for years. Who can it be? Ghost Dixie. Oh my God, I can see. Dead Dixie's laughing at me. Oh my God. I think it's you. I thought you were dead. You ate peanut butter right in my living room. I watched you die. Dixie!
This week on All My Children, Death Becomes Her. Dixie's back and looking better than ever.
Zach sends Aiden to rescue Jake Martin and Dafar. Damn, Zach, what did Jake Martin ever do to you?
Erica goes a little loopy during her solitary confinement. Good thing she got out in one day.
And news alert to all the men in Pine Valley. Cassie is a virgin.
All this week
on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending May 2nd, 2008.
2008? You sure?
Yes, I keep getting it confused. I always, because 2007 has a better flow to it. You know what I'm saying?
2007. But this is 2008.
Right?
Yeah.
2008.
It's one would think that, you know, we want to forget 2007, especially in Pine Valley.
Oh, you got a point. Well, we've walked down memory lane a little bit in Pine Valley these days.
I know. It's
a whole new old Pine Valley.
There you go. I got it. Well, we got a lot to discuss, too, because there's a lot of drama, again, going on behind the scenes and on air.
That's right.
So, and I gotta just say it.
Go ahead.
I am not amused.
What is it this week, Jordan?
Well, we all know, it's obvious now, it's the worst kept secret in history. It is Julia that's going to be killed, and she's going off the show, and I am not amused.
Not amused at all.
It is disgusting to me that they did that to her.
Do we know how?
Of course we know how.
I don't think we're going to share this one.
We can't share this one.
We're
not going to share this one, but we know how she
we
goes, and
how.
It's disgusting.
Listen, it's discussion that she's going, but I kind of like the way it happens.
I don't see a point to it. I think it's stupid. I said this in the blog. It's lazy on the writer's part.
Absolutely.
It's lazy. They don't want to write. They don't want to actually have to write some good material for their actors.
A lot of viewers have written in and said that, why wouldn't they just keep Minnie Han Julia? Basically, okay, let's start from the beginning a little bit. We think that the reason why they're letting go of Minnie Han Julia is twofold, listeners and viewers. We think that, number one, they want to clear the way for Tad to have Katie back without any interference.
And number two, they can't afford them.
Exactly.
That's why they get rid of all the old-timers. That's rid of Brooke. That's why they forced Marcy Walker out. Did I say Marcy Walker? I got all warped there. Marcy Walker.
Partially why they got rid of Dixie, too. Partially.
Yes, partially. I mean, it just irks me. And I got to tell you guys, I am this close to starting up on One Life to Live. Because One Life to Live has some good... I got some spoiler alerts for One Life to Live.
Maybe we could do the Landview Lowdown.
The Landview Lowdown. I like that. The Land View Lowdown.
I can't do the Land View Lowdown. My friend Kat does the Land View Lowdown.
Really? I like that.
It's a great name, right?
Yeah, it's a great name.
Listen, Kat, I don't want to infringe on your territory or nothing, but it might happen.
Well,
I have to. The writing is too good over there.
I got to tell you, that show has some good stuff coming up in the writing. Ron Cavaro already, whatever his name is, however you pronounce it, and Frank Valentini Valenti, they know what they're doing. They are doing old-fashioned soap opera. And when I heard what was going to be coming down the pike in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be tuning in. And to make matters even better, Miss Andrea Evans, Tina Lord, is coming back One Night to Live, because Passions is gone.
Tina Lord.
Yeah, so see,
she got that crazy red hair, that crazy eye makeup.
Yeah, I love
her. Make her look a little Asian.
I love her. And then, see, this is the thing. Unlike Julianne Harrobo, whatever her name is, Frank doesn't mind using the older cast members.
Julianne and Carruthers.
Yeah, I don't like her. He doesn't mind. I mean, when they realized that they needed Clint, they recast. Because Clint Ritchie, who played Clint Buchanan, left the show. He's retired and whatever. And they realized Clint's needed.
Right.
So they stole Jerry Verdon from Guiding Light, who, again, Ellen Wheeler, I don't know what she was thinking letting Jerry Verdon go. But this is what happens. And now he's playing Clint on One Night to Live.
People, I have no idea what he's talking about.
And I just don't understand why All My Children doesn't do the same thing.
Well, basically, what I was going to say is that the viewers and listeners have written on our blog and in various places that they think, which I think makes the most sense, and I agree wholeheartedly, let Julia live. Let Tad find out Katie is his daughter, and let Julia have the heart-wrenching decision to make to let her daughter go. Because that's the thing she's going to do. Julia would absolutely do that. Give us Julia's heartbreaking scene. Julia has lost everything in the world. Her family's not even here anymore. And she has to let go of the one thing in her life that she loves, her daughter, because it's the right thing to do. And then let her leave to LA to go with her family.
There you go. I would respect that a lot more.
Two episodes, three extra episodes you have to pay for. That's it.
I would respect that more.
Thank you.
Then killing her.
They think it's a sweeps thing that people are going to like. But you know what? I'm going to have news for you people. This is the thing. People that watch soap operas look at the internet. They use the internet. It ain't like the old days where you didn't know, like out of left field, someone would die or leave the show or whatever. So it ain't no surprise. So it's not going to make us be, I mean, it maybe will add more viewers, you know, during sweeps and stuff. But these tricks are so old and so stupid that they're boring. Let the sweeps event be that Tad finds Katie. That's a sweeps event. Dixie coming back.
Is that her name, Katie? Why do you keep calling her Katie?
Because listen, she baby Kate, but her name is Kathy. So we call her Katie. Katie. Get it? Katie.
Oh, that's hard.
No, just like we have Jerkson, just like we have Adam, just like we have Amanda for her delicious, beautiful memories. We like to make names. It's
well,
fun.
Look, all I know is that it is breaking my heart because you know what? At one point, Sydney Penney was one of the lead actresses in the show. Her and Noah, now I'm not going to admit, I was not a big Noah fan, but her and Noah were a super couple.
He was like a big oaf to me.
Me too, but you know what? They were the last true big time soap super couples, because soap super couples have died out. I mean, yes, everybody loved Greenlee and Leo, but by then soaps were already kind of like, the whole genre was kind of like changing. Yes. Back in the 90s, it was still the thing to have the super couple, the couple that you wanted to see together no matter what,
right?
And fighting the odds. And Julia and him were big. And if you don't believe
one
me, just
true love, people. Go
to YouTube and look up 25th anniversary of All My Children, and you will see interviews. And they compared them to like Jesse and Angie and Greg and Jenny. They considered them part of the All My Children heritage. And then you bring this actress back, which I was ecstatic when you
her,
and
like
you did
Dixie.
Nothing. They gave her nothing.
Nada. Zip,
nothing.
Zero.
You gave her false starts. Hurt me this week to see her coming on for like 2 seconds to wheel Jesse around.
That's what I'm saying.
And knowing that what's in store for her. And I was just, it was like reliving seeing Dixie die all over again for me. I was pissed. I'm going to just say that. I got it up my chest. I'm mad about my Julia. I'm mad about my Kobe. That's another thing. It was very hard seeing Amber working this week. And
with
she was
Cassie,
so good.
Too.
So good. And scenes with David Canary and JR, and knowing that she's not going to be there in another week and a half or two.
How long is it? Do you know?
I think it's probably another week or so that we have her.
Did she get the same, like when Sabine was let go? I think Sabine like literally had like a week or two to go. before when she found out of work.
No, I think this was done really fast.
It was.
I think this was very quick and very fast. Yeah, it was very.
She didn't get her scripts for the next week or something.
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. I think it was that kind of thing where like you know, and they've done that. I knew there was an actress on Loving. This was an old time. So I just got to tell you real quick. It was really. They actually called her up. Patty Lotz, who was playing Ava, called her up in the morning and told her she was showering. Don't come to work. You don't need to. And they replaced her with Roya McNaught.
That is cold.
Or McNaught, however she pronounced it.
How does he know this, people? Oh, honey, someone called you. I like it a little. I call you Soapcyclopedia Hudson.
And
like,
it's somebody,
like Encyclopedia Brown. Uh-huh. That character in the children's book. Yeah. I used to love me some Encyclopedia Brown.
Uh-huh.
Someone called you Soapcyclopedia Jordanica. I really like that.
I saw that. That was funny.
That was excellent.
That was funny.
Excellent.
You, I just, you know, I feel bad for Kobe. I'm not gonna. Amber, I'm gonna miss you.
We are all going to miss you.
You
are so lovely.
You are so. You grew up.
Remember how much we hated her
at the beginning? Yeah, but I think you were supposed to. The character was supposed to be an annoying little kid, and the beauty of this storyline was
three dimensions to
yeah
her.
she grew and she grew up and she made the character so that I'm gonna start crying.
He really is, people. His eyes are getting
just
wet.
Because you know what, she's good. There's no reason to recast her.
I know, and you got the inside scoop on the new actress. That's why you're upset.
Oh
too.
God, yes. Well,
yeah, Moncrief,
dead behind the eyes.
Ooh.
But in good news, let's look at the good news. I actually am gaga over Yaya. I was expecting the worst because, you know, she was America's Next Top Model. That doesn't bode well with me when you're getting a reality star to be on, like. But I got to say, I'm not saying that she's not perfect. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I think she's going to get an Emmy next year. Well, we'll get to that in a minute about the Emmys. But we were discussing it because you had issues with her a little bit. But I think the only problem that I have with her is that I think she's playing the character a little bit. She's trying too hard to make the character young. And the character is like
a virgin,
17
people.
Or 18.
Weird. That was weird. Creepy, weird. Like, we all had to hear that she was a virgin.
And she told that damn teddy bear.
Elephant.
That elephant. What?
That elephant that is supposed to be 20 years old. People, that looks like it was purchased yesterday. They could do a little better than that.
I have to admit, they're losing me a little bit with this elephant thing. But we'll get to that. But yeah, you're doing good, girl. Keep it up.
Well, the other little tidbit before we start our little recap for the week is we got some Emmy nominations, people, and we got some feedback from y'all. Y'all are not happy. And from what we understand, the folks at all my children are not all that happy about the lack of nods for the fine cast and crew of the program.
And One Life to Live, people are not happy either, from
that's
what
right,
I heard.
That's right, from
so,
what we understand.
Well, I agree with them. Michael Logan said in his soap column a couple of weeks before the nominations came out, he specifically said that they decided to change the way they get nominations. They figure out who gets nominated and stuff. And the way that they were doing it opened it up to like everybody and their mother being nominated from like every show. So what happens is that now the people who make the decisions to who gets nominated, they have to watch like all these like DVDs and videos of people's performances. And basically from what I've heard from the inside was that the people that were doing this, some of them weren't even invested in the soap industry to begin with. So they could really care less. And then the
other
people.
So you mean
like
they're just seeing like one or two clips and deciding
from there? Yeah, and basically they looked at maybe one or a few and then got bored and didn't look at the rest. So basically these nominations were not really. Like, it wasn't fair because they didn't even look at certain people's work. And I know some of you said, well, All My Children didn't really deserve anything, you know, because they had such a horrible year. And I agree with you, but you guys got to understand, there's a difference. I didn't expect All My Children to be nominated for Best Drama. No way. I didn't expect
Best Writing,
you know, for Megan McTavish. I didn't even expect Best Casting. I saw your nomination list. I didn't know they nominated casting.
Yeah.
Well, we knew.
She's won a couple, though. Miss Judy Blythe Wilson from All My Children has won a couple.
I don't know how, but she definitely didn't deserve it this year. But the actors and the actresses, they're getting nominated and they're winning on their performances. Because let me tell you something. General Hospital is, as a show, General Hospital is not all that. But they've won Best Show because all you got to show is one episode to win Best Show. And One Life to Live, I think out of the four of them, One Life to Live deserves it. I think they had a bang-up year. Asa dying. You know, they killed off the patriarch, Asa. Right. Not Phil Carrion in real life, just Asa. I really think One Life to Live should get it out of the four of them for this year. Yeah.
Well, what do you want to talk about first? I want to talk about Dixie, Adam.
Yes, even let's though, talk about
like,
that.
I'm going to tell you the truth. That wasn't like the most exciting for me storyline this week, but it was the biggest event probably.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
And listen, I thought it was great, but there's not really a lot that happened.
Basically, no, they're all building that happened, up. They're building up. Exactly. They're showing Adam. But
he has to wait all week, people, for her to come back.
But let me tell you, what a way to end the week. She looked great. And, you know, I love the fact that she still has that long hair because that's her As the World Turns thing. When she's on As the World Turns. Yeah, blonder, but the length. Like, when she played Rosanna, the bad girl. Sexy Rosanna with the long hair. And, you know, Dixie, everybody likes Dixie with that little short pixie cut. And I actually like Katie with some long hair.
No, that's her mom hairdo.
I like her with the long hair.
I like the mom hairdo.
I gotta say, she looked fun. I like that little smile that she gave.
Oh, she was having the blast with haunting Adam. Ooh, I loved it.
Yeah, see, it was good. It was good.
Well, basically, at the beginning of the week, we had a continuation from last week on how Adam was haunted by Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
He sent some dude, because the week before, like, the You Are My Sunshine started playing.
Yeah.
He sent some dude to fix his stereo. He claims that Colby and JR did it, and he's like, you did it. You did this to me. You turned on the radio. You rigged the radio. And JR's like, mm-hmm. You know, JR didn't do it, and he's offended. Frankly, he is offended because that was his mama's song. Why would he, like, flaunt Dixie, his dead mother, in front of Adam to tease him or torture him? So this is one of the scenes that Jordan was talking about where Colby is so wonderful and delightful. Because she, like, mediates. She gets JR to understand that Adam has a problem.
I know.
He's a sick pup.
Our Colby's grown up.
She is so grown up.
And I loved when she lectured him. She's like, that's our father and he needs us now. I was like, why is she leaving?
I can't talk about it. I can't talk about it.
All right, let's not talk about it because I'm going to cry.
He really is, people. So everyone leaves. The brouhaha kind of subsides. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he starts hearing again the You Are My Sunshine. And he screams, damn you, Dixie. And then all of a sudden you hear this snap. Kind of like the same kind of slap that Jordan does to me when I say that I like babe. Ow! I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
I'm sorry. So I love that. It was just great. And then he finds a picture of Dixie, right? Like, he's always finding that picture of Dixie. But what the weird thing is that later in the week, because they show Tad on the computer all week, you know, looking for Katie. Like, all of a sudden, we see him intent on looking for Katie. So we know as viewers that something's going to happen soon. And he's got a different picture, right, of Dixie?
No, I think it's the same picture. The same one. It looked like the same picture.
So it was bigger, bigger, much bigger.
Yeah, it was bigger. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it looked the same
to me. It was like when
me.
You go to the Kmart.
Yeah.
And you get an assortment of sizes. You get like a wallet. You get a 3x5. You get a 5x7 for the frame. You know what I'm saying? Adam had the 3x5. And Tad had the 5x7. It said he didn't have it in no frame. It was like the glamour shots. You know what I'm saying? Dixie's glamour shots.
It was Dixie's glamour shots.
With a better background.
Little over
the
shoulder.
Because the glamour shots always have the like funky background, the hazy, misty background. This was more like a solid background. And it was with Dixie with her mom hair.
Yeah.
So, Tad gets in, you know, he's dealing with Aiden too all week because, and we'll talk about Aiden later, but he goes back to work to look for Katie and he discovers that his picture is missing.
Mm-hmm.
The 5x7.
Yes.
From the Kmart/ glamour shots shop. And so he gets all beklempt. And Crystal comes in and her, I love this dress, the blue and the brown and the orange dress. I loved it. So she tries to comfort him because she's a good wife. And it's so interesting to me because in these scenes, she mentions Dixie. She's like, I know that Dixie was the love of your life and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it always is a reminder to me that these two are best friends.
Yeah.
And it's so sad for me because I want love. I want passion.
But I think that's what's making this storyline so great because you know that she really does love Adam. And eventually she's going to.
And he really does.
And eventually he's going to, you know. But the fact that they're trying to make it work, I mean, it's just touching. It's very, I'm loving them. I'm loving them right now.
Well, anyway, this 5x7 glamour shot slash Kmart picture shows up in Adam's home.
Yes.
And he's like, where did you come from? Where did this come from? JR, you planted this. Ah. So JR, of course, denies it. And this is where I get a little bored. It's like they extend the storyline so much, but they do. It's like, how many times does he have to accuse JR of planting Dixie stuff before JR gets pissed off and walks out? All week. It takes a whole week.
I didn't think it was that bad.
But then, at least it's
And
the
Jacob
impetus.
Looked good. Maybe I would have been annoyed. Really Maybe I would have been more annoyed if he had that long hair.
Well, at least that's true. That would have been annoying.
But now he looks good, so I was like, yeah, just look at the eye candy. Yes.
Well, at least he has the good sense to call Crystal.
Yes, he did.
Which I really liked. He calls Crystal, and then Crystal and Tad come over, and we get some of our most fun scenes of the week.
Those, I was on the floor.
Really fun. Because Adam is going crazy at this point. Like, he looks crazy. He's so good.
And yes.
By the way, David Canary, the only All My Children acting nomination.
Yes. Congratulations, David. You deserve it.
You do? Do I think that? I don't know if I think that.
Well, I feel he deserves. He always deserves to be nominated.
He's an amazing actor.
I didn't say he should win. I just said
that he is not. But I don't know that I would say that this was his year to win this award, because I think so many other performances were so strong.
I didn't say that he should win. I think he should be nominated. Look at that list again. There's a couple of people that I think should be off that list. But
if I'm really being honest with you.
You want Thorsten. I'm not saying it, but this is what I'm telling everybody when they're saying, like, oh, they didn't expect anything. I did expect people to be nominated.
But think about the material that David Canary had to work with. It wasn't, like, revolutionary, mind-blowing, mind-breaking.
Letting Crystal have the baby by herself.
Oh, he just played mean.
No, but that... Honey, that's all it takes. You're a good actor. You give good performances.
There was such realism and depth.
This is what
to
I'm
the Kendall-Zach relationship.
I agree with you, though. Didn't I not tell you that I thought Thorsten should have been nominated? Kendall should have been nominated. Alicia.
You can't have Bobby every actor from every show be nominated. So what I'm saying is if I had a pick of a couple actors from All My Children to win this year for me, to win a nomination, for me this year, it would not be David Canary. That's what I'm saying. Even though I think he's incredible.
I don't know. Some of those other nominations, I don't think should have. Dale Pengus from Days of Our Lives. The fact that anybody from Days of Our Lives was nominated for an Emmy is disgusting to me. I'm sorry. That show is atrocious. Can't be over the top.
We will agree to disagree.
I'm sorry for those Days fans. They're hating me now.
Listen, I was happy to see Crystal and Tad come over. And Crystal was so worried about her man. And she knew. She took one look at them crazy devil eyes. And she knew that something was real wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Tad does not believe it. And he is so pissed. Well, first of all, he's holding the Kate, the adoption paper.
I know. And I cannot believe he said it so loud and they did not hear him.
I thought that too.
That was a little, timing-wise, was a little too much. I mean, they couldn't hear it because he was talking loud.
Well, he had burned those papers and we saw him burn those papers.
Yeah, and then he said, how did these papers come back here? The papers that prove that Kate, and like, he said it so loud, and then they're like right there, and they didn't hear that?
I know.
It was a little hard. That was a little.
I'm telling you, I don't like these little details that make it seem like there's a spirit out there, because it makes it seem too much like Dixie's a dead spirit. I want Dixie just to be a figment of his imagination.
That's the way I think they should play it, so they can open it up so her coming back.
All these, like, photos missing, breezes blowing, this, that, the other thing. I don't like it. So anyway, but Tad is pissed off. First of all, it's amazing that Tad did not grab that paper from him, you know, and figure out what it was. Tad is pissed off because he thinks Adam is faking it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get why everybody's buying it. And he's like, woo, 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 flying squirrel. You know, I can do it too, you know, which is so funny. I loved it. You know, he just thinks that Adam is full of it. So Adam starts to talk to himself, like Jordan said, and go crazy while they're stepped outside. And they come back in, and Adam has ripped up the adoption papers and chewed them and eaten them. Because he thinks it's Father Clarence.
That yes!
Which is a good guess, really.
It is a good guess. That was funny. When he mentioned Father Clarence, I was like, oh my Lord.
So I loved it.
It was some good stuff.
So then Tad starts eating because he doesn't buy it. He's like, I can do this too. This is easy. He starts eating paper and stuff. It was great. So they all leave and they're all worried about Adam, and Adam is drinking, of course, and he's drinking in the mirror. He looks in the mirror. He starts hearing first the You Are My Sunshine theme, and then he looks back in the mirror. He hears this woman laughing, and he looks back and it's Dixie looking beautiful. She's wearing like a beige sort of suit, very modest, you know, but pretty, sparkling a little bit. Her hair is long and bleach blonde, and she's just like waving like a little girl and giggling and laughing, and he drops his whiskey or bourbon or whatever. It was perfect.
But I got to tell you, you know what worked for me, though? David Canary. I got to tell you, it is not easy to be playing by yourself like the way he did this week. And he was marvelous. And the way when he looked in the mirror and saw her, and the way he said, Dixie.
I agree.
I mean, the way he said it, like goosebumps.
Well, we have another character on the show that did a wonderful job of playing Solitary.
Oh, my Lord.
Get it? Solitary. Miss Erica Kane, LaLucci, does it again.
She does it again and knocks it out of the ballpark. I got to tell you, it would have been so easy for her to be over the top And she was so subtle and so deep.
Jordan, I gotta call you on this.
No, I thought she was phenomenal.
If we did the math, how long truly was Erica Kane in solitary?
It doesn't make a difference.
I'm saying 2 days. Look, my money is on 2 days.
I'm going to throw you in a room and lock you in there and see how quick you go nuts.
How they never, ever mentioned how long she was in there. No one person, not one person mentioned how long she was in there.
But think about it. Somebody like her to be put in a room by herself.
Listen, viewers, there is nothing you could say about Erica Kane that he would agree. If it's bad, that he will agree with.
She can't do no wrong.
He adores her.
I'm sorry.
And I don't blame you. Listen, I don't blame you. She is so wonderful for this show. I do like some of the things she did I thought was awesome, but I just thought it was so funny that she was having visions, that she was having nightmares, that she was having the bed sweats.
Oh,
I
but mean, they were such good visions and oh.
All right. Well, listen, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, tell them how that she got there.
I was cracking up because at the beginning of the week when she's first in solitary, it's like the version of Erica in solitary is completely roughed up and different from what it was before. I mean, her hair clip is out. Her collar is no down. Longer up. It's down and it's buttoned to the top. I mean, this woman is distressed. I mean, her makeup is only 3/4 of the way done. It's horrifying. But I loved what she did. She starts to try it. She, and you know, to her credit, people, and to the show's credit, it's not a, like, fast downfall.
Yeah.
It's not a fast downfall. It's a gradual sort of decline, if you know what I'm saying. So I at least was happy to see that. Like, at first she pretends she's doing a New Beginning show.
Yes, and that was funny.
Yes.
Oh, she was so funny.
Well, she was upset. Well, she realizes that New Beginnings is all about helping people start over. So then her biggest gripe in solitary is that she can't help people outside.
Yeah.
That is her biggest gripe, which I thought was really nice. She closes her eyes and she fantasizes that she was on the French Riviera with Kendall and Bianca.
My heart they didn't show Bianca. Broke.
She looked good.
She looked real good. I thought she looked hot.
I'm going to say one thing. I got to say it. You people rely on us for unexpurgated, uncensored opinions. The one thing I got to point out here is that she had not the Vaseline lens, all right? She had the full-on grease lens.
No, it was not.
It was so soft and hazy that
I don't care. It was a dream.
You almost couldn't see her. Like, people, if you ever noticed Barbara Streisand when she does an interview on Barbara Walters, she got that Vaseline lens going. You could barely make out her features.
It was a dream, though. It was a fantasy.
But one thing I would tell you, when she was sitting there and her little leg was popped up, like on the beach reclining, her leg had no cellulite.
Miss Susan Lucci looked good. That's what I'm saying.
She looked good.
Some of those girls should be ashamed of themselves.
I didn't think that it was sensible for a 62-year-old woman to be taking sun, but she looked good. I hope she had on the SPF 85. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you keep saying 62. She may be 62, but Erica Kane is 54. Only 54.
So, and Kendall is only...
Well, Kendall
Thank
should be.
You. Kendall should be.
No, Kendall should be
almost 40.
She should be almost 40.
That's right.
Because, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway.
I'll
let it slide, people. I'll let it slide. But she did. And the other thing I'm going to point out to you, and you better not disagree.
What?
Did you notice that they kind of dressed Kendall down on the beach? Kendall has been in her little drawers, her little brown panties, but in this scene, she had a bathing suit that could cover the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
You don't think that was so that Miss Erica Kane, she did not shine Miss Erica Kane?
Of course. Ah! Even in her fantasies, she's still number one. I loved it.
Anyway. All right. Well, listen, then we get to the very precious. She finds a friend. Erica in solitary finds a friend, a little ladybug named Gwendolyn.
I gotta tell you, because they cut before they showed the ladybug. The scene ended with her looking in the corner and going, what are you doing here? Well, how did you get in here? Something like that.
Yes.
And all I thought was like, oh my gosh, she's gonna make friends with a rat. All I kept thinking was like, she's making friends with Ben.
Well, listen, I call Jordan because I was cracking up because it reminded me, Jordan didn't see it, but it reminded me of my favorite, one of my favorite movies, Cast Away with Tom Hanks. And in this motion picture, Tom Hanks, he gets stranded on a desert island. Mm-hmm. And all these packages come from the FedEx plane that he was in. He finds a volleyball.
Uh-huh.
Or soccer ball.
A basketball. Is it basketball?
No, it was volleyball.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was a soccer ball.
Okay.
I don't know. It was some kind of ball, people. He finds a ball. And it's the brand Wilson. And so I think he was bleeding or something. So he puts his hand on the ball to grab it, and it makes an imprint. And it makes the ball look like almost like one of those, like, I don't know, like a person.
Okay.
So it looks like a person with a mouth and eyes and hair and ears and stuff like that. So he decides to call this little ball Wilson. And he befriends this little ball. This little ball becomes his best friend in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he escapes the island, he brings Wilson with him, and he tucks him under his arm, and he puts him on his little raft, and he hits some waves, and he loses that ball. If I'm telling you, Tom Hanks cried like they had put a knife in his newborn baby's heart. Aww. He cried, Wilson! Wilson! He was screaming, crying, and I'm screaming, crying. And her little Gwendolyn Ladybug, he reminded me of Wilson. I thought Erica was going to cry when Gwendolyn flew away.
She did kind of get all
paclamped. She got really upset.
She was so good.
She was really good, people. I love when she met that little ladybug.
Yes, tell us about it.
She sees this little ladybug on her little delicate hands, and she says, "Look at you. Well, I'm not supposed to have any visitors. How did you get in here? Did you make the warden mad too? Ladybugs are good luck. I need you, Gwendolyn. That's what I'm going to call you, Gwendolyn. I like your style. Red and polka dots, just like me. I have a confession to make. It's not easy for me to be in here. Nothing to do. It makes me feel so hopeless. So useless. It's like I don't even exist."
Oh, it was so good. I got all emotional again. It got so good.
Oh, you're the team. People, when I was reading that, he was like glued to the page. He was glued, and he was like mouthing the words with me. And tears just started to roll down his
face. I know. Miss Lucci was fabulous this week.
Yeah, he was so funny.
Oh, my God. It was good.
Do you know that I think that they have to have animal care people on set for stuff like that?
For the ladybug?
I'm telling you the truth.
I want to know how many takes it took. And how many ladybugs it took.
They have to have PETA people, like the people for the ethical treatment of animals. They have to have them on set.
I mean, because that's a pretty well-trained ladybug. Really isn't you went to fly away too?
I'm telling you.
How do you train a ladybug?
Well, like Jordan was saying, when she lost the little Gwendolyn, she curled up into fetal position.
Yeah, it was... she.
And then I was like looking at my little clock and I'm thinking, oh my God, that poor woman, she's breaking down. She's been in here for 7 hours.
Leave her alone. Well, look, all
she
I got is.
She starts having nightmares, right?
Yeah, remember she
dreamed up the marriages. She saw
the ten rings. Yeah, she heard, and she heard the 10 rings, and she heard the husband's.
I heard tell. Mike Roy. Did you hear Mike Roy? Yes.
Oh, you heard all of them. They did a really calling good job of putting a montage of saying, like, oh, you can't be faithful to a man.
Erica, it was, you're a slut. Slut.
You're this and that. It was unbelievable. It was great. And then
I loved it.
And then we heard
yes.
Mona.
Mona, people.
And we found out he's a Mr. Mr. CRS-17.
Right.
I was right there with you. Let me tell you, the minute I heard Mona's voice, it brought chills to me. And I wanted to cry because...
He's crying. If out,
you
people.
For you guys that don't remember Erica Mona, that was a one in a lifetime mother and daughter
once
relationship.
In a lifetime.
I mean, Agnes Nixon really created something so beautiful, and they had such a great relationship. I mean, because Erica
great
was
because
such
it was bad.
It was bad. Erica was such a spoiled child. You know, Mona gave everything to her. And, you know, all Erica kept saying was, I love my father in Hollywood, blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna go to my father. Like that was the way Erica was. Erica was never grateful. For her mother, but yet
once
Mona.
Once in a while, she would show
once
a
in a blue moon.
Of like,
but on the most part, she never appreciated her mother. And throughout that, like a real mother, Mona loved her no matter
Mona
what.
Mona stood by her side and
everything.
Never once. Can you ever remember
never
one time where
her.
That woman said, my daughter's horrible,
yes.
My daughter's terrible? She would always defend Erica.
Erica.
Every
and
bad
she loved her.
Ooh, I said a bad word.
You can just bleep it.
Every bad action she ever did, Erica did, Mona always defended it and always found the good in her daughter and understood why her daughter acted the way she did.
And yes.
She wasn't a doormat, people. She gave Erica her honest opinion.
Oh, yeah. She always was very honest with Erica.
But it was just a beautiful, real relationship.
Mother-daughter. And the fact that, like...
And honorable.
Oh. And the fact that you know, you heard Mona's voice, and then for Erica to say... Mother, you were the only one who loved me unconditionally. And it's so true that everybody in her life, all the men, everybody, Mona's the only one. And it just brought back all those good memories.
Well, then she also felt, though, like she confessed to her mother, which also broke my heart and I thought was fantastic by the actress Susan Lucci. She also confessed that she felt like she failed her daughters.
Oh, yes.
Then like she didn't do right by Mona because Mona talked about the three generation of Kane women, she said, Susan Lucci said, you know, Erica said, I failed my daughters. And they showed the scene where Kendall was, you know, going into premature labor. They showed the scene where Bianca got raped right after and Erica was sitting with her and Bianca was stunned. And it was just, I'm getting chills right now.
It was so my luck. Yeah, feel me. Okay, there you go.
Anyway, it was just amazing.
It was really good writing, good really acting. It wasn't campy. It was just played so right.
I love that.
I mean, this is what next year, 2009, Miss Lucci should be nominated for an Emmy for. This is great scenes.
It was good stuff.
Good stuff.
So then in the meantime, finally our girl Carmen has come through. She has told Jerkson that Erica has been put in solitary and Jackson, to his credit, Jackson, a.k.a. Jerkson, because of his jerky head movements, actually did not jerk his head very much when he talked to that warden.
I know.
He was good.
He was
very good.
He was good.
He was pissed at her. He was pissed at that warden. He knew what she did, and he was telling her in no uncertain terms that he was going to get his girl out and that she was going to pay for it.
But I got to give you props. That warden, I don't know where they found her, she's great. We're loving the warden. She is such a good actress.
She
stood her ground and she didn't overplay. She's another one. I don't know where they found her, but she is really good.
Excellent. And then, people, this is what I love.
Wait, but you forgot what Carmen called him. She gave Jackson a name. You remember that?
Jackson Mutt Yummy.
No, she called him, I'm going to call you Action Jackson because... I love that Carmen's nicknaming everybody.
She's better than we are. She's better than we are with that.
I know. She's like, I'm going to call you Action Jackson because you just come right in and save the day. She's crazy. I love me some Carmen.
But what I loved about how this week ended, I think a lot of people on the blog agreed, is I got the chills again when Erica, after 17 hours.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
A crack in the door opens. And light floods in, and Erica's like, what's going on? And she looks up, and it's Sam Woods, and he's just standing there. You see, like, his silhouette. And then she looks up at him weakly because she's too weak to even stand, and he scoops her little 72-pound body up and carries her from that mat. Because all she had was a mat, 73. People. All she had was a mat, and he took her out. He rescued her from solitary.
See, now,
I was cheering, and I loved it.
And
Did you love it?
I'm going to say something.
Uh-oh.
No, it's something good.
Oh.
I got to tell you, this is the first time since... Because I actually thought they had some chemistry when they first met, and then it seemed to die down. But they were working it.
Absolutely.
I was loving me some Sam Woods.
Did not say a word, people, and the chemistry between
was there,
them.
Let me tell you.
You know what? You know what I saw on his face? He felt so bad in that moment about what all of this had come to.
Yes.
Because that's not what he intended to do when he started this. This had become ridiculous. Oh. And you could see it in his face, how hurt he felt, how bad he felt that he started this and that she was doing this.
This is the Mr. Van Peebles I remember you know, the old days. And let me tell you something. I loved his scene with the warden.
Yes, it was good.
He put the warden in her place.
But you know what I loved about it? Jordan, neither one of the men was like overbearing.
No.
You know, they weren't threatening her. They weren't physically
intimidating. They didn't try to be like a man telling a woman she couldn't do her job. It was very well acted, well written.
Very calm and very precise about what the results would be from this crazy lady acting like a lunatic.
Oh, boy. But he was good.
And it was great. I really respected that because they could have been like, yo, bitch, what up? I'm going to kick you up. You know, like they could have been really tough for her. They could have been like, a lot of men try to physically intimidate women that they don't like.
No, it
didn't happen.
It was good. I tell you, Samuel Woods back on the hot meter for me. He was good this week.
Well, it was funny because
what? She's laughing. She can't even get out. What?
I can't get it out.
What?
Well, Sam Sam put Erica, you know, in a little chair, and he asks her if she needs anything, and she says, well, yes, I'd love a toothbrush. Well, maybe she didn't say that. Did she say that?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
No, you people, I made that up. She didn't.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, I must have, like, I don't know.
Well, then Jack says to her, like, Jack is very concerned. And he says to her, are you all right, Erica? And she says, no. No, I'm not. But my lipstick is.
She didn't say that either. What's wrong with you?
I wish you would have said that. Her lipstick was so perfect. It was beautiful. To her credit, she did wear less makeup for this.
Yeah,
for the
she
scene.
Did wear less makeup. And the hair was not as
good.
Like.
And the hair was not as good. But she didn't go without her lip gloss, let me tell you. She must have had it in her little pocket.
It was Eric. It was a hot week for Erica and her group, let me tell you. I even felt, let me tell you something, and I got to tell you, and you know I'm not a big Erica and Jackson fan, but I was even feeling their scenes.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I feel like they're finally evolving these two characters. Well, they're taking it a step, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're not seeing the same stuff over and over again of them getting together and breaking up and her acting like a shit and scheming to, you know what I mean? They're really growing.
Well, it ended really nice too because, again, and I got to give her credit, Miss LaCaine, the only thing she's worried about is that if this happened to her, she was lucky because she had the big guns on her side, but the other women don't. And so she was worried about what happens to the other women that don't have, you know, people helping them. And we ended the week really nice with all the girls, you know, from the...
Yeah, I loved them.
It was really, really nice. So I thoroughly enjoyed the ending of that storyline.
Yes, that was good.
And even with all the little, you know, idiosyncratic little things about it, I still enjoyed it. You know what I'm saying? I say all those stuff, Jordan, but it's fun.
No, I know.
Me, you know what I'm saying? So.
All right, let's go into your favorite couple.
Listen, I like Kendall and Zach, all right? You know, I don't know. I thought it was weird when we left the week before with Kendall and Zach burning down Tad's little cottage. Oh my God.
I still think that was the most bizarre thing.
It was really bizarre.
Got a match?
Kendall kissed Zach's burnt hand. I was like, nasty. Nasty. He didn't even have a Band-Aid on it. That's nasty.
Ew.
Zach goes to Tad's. I love this part. Zach goes in and he hands Tad a check and basically says, hope you don't mind. I burnt your house down or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Well, it was nice because he gave him a check for the house and he also donated like a lot of money to the fire department. So it was nice. He did the right thing.
It's bizarre.
It is bizarre.
It was bizarre to me, but okay, go with it.
Well, Tad spent the whole week warning Aiden about working with, you know, Zach and working for the guy whose wife he slept with because Tad's in on the whole thing. Why don't I remember Tad knowing about Aiden and Kendall?
Aiden told Tad.
I don't remember that.
That was like about a week or two ago. Where were you?
It must have been Aiden's powerful acting.
Now, you know there's some Aiden fans out there. Leave him alone. Only harp on him when he's doing something bad.
All right, fine.
Like in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We will certainly get to that. Well, anyway, at work, we see Zach at work, and he gets word from beautiful, perfect Josh that someone, a Cambius employee, is in trouble.
Wow, I know. They showed Josh this week.
They showed Josh.
And Erica actually mentioned them. We forgot to mention that when she said, all I need is my girls and my Josh. I was like, oh my gosh, she acknowledged him.
Oh, God.
I was beginning to think she forgot she had a son.
No kidding. Well, anyway, it was pretty cool because we don't know yet that it's going to be Jake. I mean, the viewers, probably a lot of us know that it's going to be Jake because we read the spoilers and stuff, but they don't know at this point.
It's been in the papers and everything. All those tabloids and soap, you know, digests and stuff. We've been talking about it.
Well, they don't know at this point that it's Jake Martin. They just know it's somebody. So, of course, Zach, the second Aiden gets to work, Zach says he's sending him to Darfur, which I love that twist. I just loved it. I was like, now this is getting good. Because Zach does it with a straight face. He knows the danger he's putting Aiden in, and he knows how Greenlee's going to be upset and all that stuff, and he don't care. He's gonna put Aiden through, you know, his paces or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So Aiden commits to going, and Josh went to visit Kendall. Do you remember that? At Fusion?
Yes.
It was so exciting, people.
She remembered she had a brother.
She remembered, but that was the same episode, right?
Yeah.
They only paid that man for one episode last week.
Hey, is one more than he's had for the last two months?
I know, it's true. And he gives her some excuse. I was cracking up, people, about why he hasn't thought about Erica or anything, because he's been working like crazy, you see. I know. Jordan just rolled his eyes. That's all you can do. It's like this poor man has to say these stupid-ass lines because they don't use them enough. Mm. So she almost slips, and she almost tells Josh about Aiden, but Aiden don't, Josh don't bite. So Zach, Josh tells Kendall about Zach going to Darfur, and then, of course, Kendall gets all crazy, and she knows it's because, you know, she knows what Zach's true intentions are, and Zach, you know, defends it because Aiden is the best in the world at being special ops. The best in the world. There is no one better or brighter or more capable than our little Adam Devane.
And he showed it by finding who the Satin Slayer was.
That's right. Did he?
No! Ah,
can't find Katie. He can't
do much of nothing. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway, and then in the meantime, didn't we have the week starting off with Aiden talking about Greenlee's pudding?
Pudding?
He referred to Greenlee as pudding or something. I felt that little...
Oh, I thought he was talking about something else.
My little stomach starts to turn.
I'm sorry, my mind goes to a dirty place. I thought he was referring to something else as her pudding.
I don't know. You know, and then poor Rebecca Bug, she is selling this, like, her little heart out, she's selling this.
Because she's an actress.
I know. But you would think that she has the power to change the direction of the storyline. What do you think?
Well, again, we know that things are going to be changing shortly.
Did you see that Jack handed Greenlee a blank check for her wedding? He's known her how many years? 2 years? She's richer than he is.
You know, but see, this
she is way richer than he is.
I know.
Can you tell me that she's not?
She probably is. Because
she was already a trust fund.
She's a Smythe.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but this is... Well, I won't even go back into it.
Because why?
It's bad writing. I mean, it's like you could have had such great storylines where you could have delved into these two developing a real relationship. We're just supposed to all of a sudden believe that he's her father when he's only been her father for a couple of years.
I know.
They dropped the ball with that. You know, I always find those scenes bizarre because they play it like the two of them, like he's been there like raising her since she came out of Mary's womb. It's like...
I know.
I mean, you didn't.
It's weird. So anyway, so then Aiden comes to pick her up at lunch, and then he gives her the news, and she freaks, and she goes to Zach, and they have a long conversation, and she really lays it out for Zach. And she finally mentioned Leo, because to me, that's the big deal.
Right.
She's lost one husband, and it tore her guts out, and it was like a year before she even had a relationship again, remember? Yeah. So, you know, she finally mentions that, and Zach actually comes to his senses. I was really surprised about that. He agreed to let Aiden.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, because see, you all hail Zach as being this really upright person. I think it's totally within his character then, because if he's made to be aware of how his actions are, then he's taking a second look at it and realizing. I think that's in his character.
I think you're right. I mean, he said that he didn't think about Greenlee enough.
Like, No, and he knows Greenlee. He's doing it out of spite.
He was just thinking, Aiden, so.
I mean, she doesn't know why he wanted to do it. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be hell to pay when Ms. Greenlee finds out the truth that everybody knows and she didn't.
Yeah.
I can't wait for those episodes.
Well.
And that's...
Just to wrap up this little storyline, it didn't really matter that Zach let him off the hook because Aiden busts in with the news that Jake Martin is the one that has been kidnapped. Where did he get this photo and all this information in between leaving Tad's place and going to Zach's?
I don't know.
But listen, people, that's a small detail because I love that development. Like, I love the way they presented it. And then they cue over to the new Jake Martin, who's played by Ricky Paul Golden, in this dark, dank cell, bleeding like crazy. And he's almost in tears. Like, you see his eyes, like, wet. And he's so distraught over being captured. And I loved it.
Great, great start for Ricky Paul Golden and All My Children.
2 minutes on a damn show.
And makes an impression. Makes an impression.
I can't wait to see what happens to this guy.
I gotta tell you, I'm looking forward to this.
I can't wait.
I think it's brilliant. If I didn't know better, I swear that Aggie Nixon was writing again. Because, see...
Jason said that. Jason, was it you that said that?
In the blog? Yeah.
Yeah,
MySpace. Well, I mean, you know, the thing is that All My Children was the kind of show that dealt with reality and dealt with issues that were going on. I mean, when Phil came back from Vietnam, I mean, they were respected. I mean, the press was talking about the fact that All My Children dealt with all these issues. And to have Jake be a prisoner of war and all this, it just brings back the show to a real real place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to this storyline.
I really am.
And I'm looking forward to Ricky Paul Golden. And I think they're really going to blow it if they do not put him with Rebecca, because those two are going to have some smoking chemistry.
They're both short, too.
They're both short, but they'll have some chemistry. And she needs a good actor.
She needs a good actor to work with.
And it's plausible. The two of them have history.
Yes, absolutely. Now, someone on the blog page said that they preferred Greenlee with the first Jake.
Right. And I think that the beginning...
Did they meet?
I think the beginning was there. Like, her flirting with Michael Lowry and this stuff. But I don't think they were together as a couple until she was with J. Eddie Peck.
All right.
And I got to admit, J. Eddie Peck was very boring. But in the writing...
I liked him with her. He did good with her.
But see, in the writing, that's still somebody that she gave Leo up for.
Yes.
So obviously, Jake means something to her. And I think the fact that he's coming back as a prisoner of war, and this is somebody that she once loved, it makes perfect sense that she is going to want to be there for him.
Right.
And I think that that's where they should go with it. I think the two of them will be smoking.
Do you know that there was actually a point where I wanted Greenlee with Jake when Jake was played by J. Eddie Peck? Over Leo. Played by
over
Josh Duhamel.
Because she loves her some Leo. Let me tell you,
I adore me some Leo. But I remember feeling bad because I really thought, like, I thought that Jake was so good to her and Leo was so, like, kind of wishy-washy about stuff, especially with that whole Laura storyline and stuff. But that was after. But still, I mean, I don't know. I'm digressing. Anyway, long story short, Aiden has got to go. But the thing is, they don't want to tell anybody that he's going to rescue Jake because they don't want Tad to go over there because Tad is not equipped to go over there.
Oh, he's certainly not.
Hell no.
He needs to go to the gym first.
That's right. He needs to get some cardio in before he goes to
some Darfur. Cardio and lose some weight before he goes to Darfur.
They ain't got no Mickey D's over in Darfur. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, Michael
Knight.
You really need to. Just for your health. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. And he's such a beautiful person.
And you're such a beautiful human being. And inside and out, you need to just, you know, get yourself together.
Because
you're single.
You're on a soap opera.
But you're single still.
Your ex-wife, Catherine Hicklin, looks like she's 22.
You're on a soap. You're single. You got to be looking out for yourself, dude.
Sure.
Oh, did you hear that rumor?
Uh-oh.
Rumor has it that they're looking... I read this in, I think, Soap Opera Weekly or something. Gary Tomlin. They're trying to think about bringing Gary Tomlin in as the new head writer of All My Children.
Ooh, that's a big one. They're getting rid of those...
Are they married? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Barbara Eisenstein and James Harmon.
That's the rumor that's going around.
Listen, these are the new writers people, the new head writers that have been here for, 6 months
and
now?
They're already thinking.
I think they should. I'm not going to say it again. I don't want to get in this argument again, but I dislike what they did over the writer's strike. They scabbed, if you ask me. I don't like it. I know. We're going to disagree about it. I know. Well, here's the thing, people. We got to wrap it up because we're going long again. But I actually...
What?
I actually really liked at the end of the week when Greenlee had to finally accept that Aiden was going away.
Yeah, she's good.
She watched him pack and they kissed and he packed some more and then they kissed again and they had like two words in that scene and then they kissed. And she, as she's kissing him the third time, a tear rolls down her cheek. She's brilliant.
Because she's an actress.
Listen, she's more than an actress. She's brilliant. I adore her. And that was a beautiful moment that she did.
Let me ask you something. Did Aiden have a tear come out?
Hell no.
You know why?
Why?
Because he's not an actor.
Well, we know that, people. Sorry, you all you coming. Aiden fans. Yeah. I'm going to say one more thing about Ricky Paul Golden. He had to do these scenes in the cell.
Uh-huh.
I love these scenes.
Oh, he was great.
I had one small gripe.
You always do.
And listen, you got to point it out. The viewers know they ain't stupid. They're very clever.
Uh-huh.
He had to operate. They knew he was a doctor, so they made him operate on one of their soldiers.
Uh-huh.
And first of all, they were all dressed really well. I thought they dressed them really well. Mm-hmm. And they were all like sort of not speaking like very broken English. But I guess the guy on the floor that Jake had to remove the bullet from was the captain. And he spoke English. Why didn't that guy translate for the other people?
Okay, you're right about that because I thought that
you.
Too. I'm like,
thank you.
Well, you want him to save your life, then why don't you just tell your men what they need to go get? I agree with you on that point.
I also want to know, and Jordan and I think Jordan has a different understanding of it, but I want to know what happened to Jamie Martin because I thought he was working with Uncle Jake, not with
and
Uncle Jeff.
I thought when he told Tad that he was going with Uncle Jeff, not Uncle Jake. So
Uncle
I don't
Jake.
Know. One of his uncles.
I think it was Uncle Jake. You people could tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah, let us know which uncle he said he was going with.
Last story. Jesse and Angie. All I'm going to say, I didn't fart, by the way. That was a chair. All I'm going to say, what? My chair went.
Oh, God.
All I'm going to say is I thought it was a I love Yaya. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think she's doing an excellent job so far. And I really want to I think she's doing nice work. And I also think she's doing really nice work with Colby, which is
sad because she's a human, but whatever.
I just think that it's weird that she's so nervous about seeing Jesse and meeting Jesse. And no. I know you don't because they look exact. Because Jesse looks exactly like her Jacob. Father, Jacob, who when Angie was in on the city.
Right.
She was married to Jacob. And it didn't work out because Jacob, who was actually played by Darnell Williams, was not Jesse. So it didn't work. And the whole thing, the whole family stuff is so perfect. Like, you know they're setting us up for a big fall.
But that's what I loved about it. Because, yes, we saw these great moments of them being a family and bonding. And then finally, when Cassie was by herself, she was the first person to point out, this is weird.
But didn't you notice that when she first met Jesse, Jesse was so nervous and weird, and she was so weird? I was just picturing a Woody Allen and Soon Yi relationship.
No, I don't think they're going to go that horrible. Don't even suggest that.
I really felt like they were.
I thought about it for a second,
Thank you. It really seems like they're going
to down the line, like 2 years, you know, 2 years later when they don't know what else to do with
or
them.
Or like maybe have Cassie have a crush on him, but then he looks just like her father, so that would
That'd be weird, yeah. But I got to tell you, I disagree. I love the family, so I love seeing them bond and, you know.
I don't remember Jason Olive's Frankie being so nice.
I don't remember Jason Olive's Frankie at all.
He was a jerk, to be honest.
Because he was a model, too.
Yeah, he was
bland.
And Jesse cooks a lot. He must have cooked a lot for himself on a run.
Yeah, he learned how to cook.
He was making, like, chili.
I know is that they were talking about that, and I was hungry watching those I was like, damn, when's the food ready? I want to come over and eat.
Well, it was nice because there was a moment where Jesse, like, finally, like, a little bit of realism here. He has all of his, like, stuff that makes him undead, like his passport, his driver's license, his tax forms, but he has no wedding certificate.
And that's when Miss Angie puts him in his place. We gotta get that wedding.
That's right. They're gonna get married, and I'm actually really excited about it. I'm really excited for that. And then we get a little more Cassie at the end of the week. We have Cassie talking to Angie, and she explains, and this is where Jordan is right. She explains sort of some of the weirdness and stuff, that it's weird that Jesse looks just like her dad, Jacob, and you know, that it's just, she explains the weirdness about it. And then Angie starts to dig. It's almost like, here's the thing that's weird about it. If I lived in Paris, I'd be talking to my mother at least every week.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking to each other like Angie asks her questions about her love life and stuff. And Angie doesn't seem to know anything about her love life.
Daughter.
Like nothing about her daughter. And Cassie has a little fun with her at that. She's like, you know, just a few friends here and there, friends with benefits. And Angie goes pale. It was like...
It was good.
It was adorable. It was nice.
I like the scene.
I would think that Angie would know a little bit more about her daughter, but whatever.
I know. I agree with you on that. It was like...
All right. And then Cassie starts talking to her damn elephant.
That was weird.
It was weird. And she says, we all know what Mom was asking about. She was asking about whether or not I'm a virgin. And the answer is I'm going to be the last virgin in Pine Valley or something weird like that.
Yeah, I thought it would have been better for her to call a friend. Yes. And we could have seen her on the phone talking to somebody, because I found it weird that you're talking to your stuffed elephant.
Yeah, it was weird. And then Frankie comes. He takes Cassie to the comeback. And that's where she meets Dre.
And Colby. I got to tell you, I don't buy it. First of all, she looks like she could eat Dre alive. She is way too much woman for Dre.
Thank you.
Dre is a little... He's a little soft in my eyes.
Oh,
but
Don't say it.
But I like those scenes. I like the scenes with the kids and stuff. It was some cute, fun stuff. But it just makes my heart break because we know Kobe's leaving.
That's
so
true.
What's the point?
And in the meantime, there's danger back at home because Robert Gardner has broken into the house.
Wait, yeah, we forgot to mention that before we were like cut off. And I got to tell you, you're gonna love this. I have to agree with you. I didn't really like the Robert Gardner bit at the house. I thought it was kind of bizarre. I thought it was especially bizarre that Kobe had her back and he pops his head out of the curtain. Yeah. It's like, how could you not send somebody hovering over you like that?
Yeah.
And I just kept waiting for her to turn around and see him. And like, it was for the first time that I felt it was a little cartoonish, that episode. And the fact that he kept talking to himself was a little cartoonish that day.
Thank you.
And I'm kind of getting a little bit disappointed because this elephant is the key to everything with the diamond. It's going to be a big letdown.
Yes, it is. He doesn't get the elephant because she takes it with her to sleep
at Colby's. But
that's embarrassing.
But you're getting 21. Me worried.
She is bringing a stuffed animal to a sleepover. it's a little.
Would you go sleep over somebody's house you just met? Not even like 15 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, no, it's weird.
And I also thought the line where Cassie goes, oh, but I'm going to go to the Chandler. How does she know who the hell the Chandlers were? She wasn't raised in Pine Valley.
Well, it must be all those phone conversations she has with Angie. It's true. All right. We can do this in a minute. Blandy and Ryan. Blandy sneaky. She sabotages the fusion presentation because she want to get fired. Why does she want to get fired?
She's up to something.
She's up to something. She keeps pretending that she was attacked by a man, and she keeps playing into Ryan's sympathies. And she puts the fusion footage of them pole dancing into the presentation so that when the presentation goes, and it's like the biggest presentation fusion's ever had. Like the biggest one they've ever had in their life. And so in the meantime.
And yet Kendall and Greenlee are nowhere to be found for this big presentation.
There was like Ryan went to see his shrink again.
Yes.
Didn't he walk out on her in a huff without even saying goodbye twice and slamming the door? That Dr. Gale is very nice. She's very forgiving.
She's a very patient doctor.
Absolutely. I loved her, but you notice they didn't pay her for two episodes because he walks into the office on one episode.
He was talking in the air. He was talking to Dixie.
In the next episode, she's there. He didn't walk out of her this time. It was nice. So anyway, so Blandy basically, she acts frightened when she hears him. And so then he starts thinking and he thinks that he wants to live with her. So she says, okay. And then they start getting flirty and they almost kiss. And then, and I almost vomited. And then she gets him to ask her to go away. And she's looking forward to going away because she thinks she'll have lots of time on her hands after the fusion proposal goes off with a hitch. A big hitch. So we'll see what happens. That's what I think about that.
Well, in the immortal words of our Opal, we're going to make like a river and flow. I love that line. Was it this week or last week?
It's all week. I think it was last week.
It was last week when Opal.
Maybe it was this week because you know why? It was this week.
It was this week.
Because Ryan went to see Richie.
Yes, when Ryan went to see Richie. Oh. This is why I don't understand how you cannot have Opal on every day and have Miss Jo Larson working. Mm-hmm. She cracked me up, but that lie was too much.
She's too much. Well, I'm afraid we have been too much. So we will sign off. If you want to write us and complain about how much we hate Adam, you can write us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com or you can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast or you can go to our website and find links to all of this, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
Jamie blew us all off to go to Africa and save lives. But don't fear. He emailed this.
Oh, come on. Uncle Jake said this little camera actually... Ooh, red light usually means that thing is on. Okay. Hey, everyone. And old man. As I'm talking to you, Dad, you're the only one there with the birthday. I'm sorry I couldn't be there for your big day or night festival thingy, whatever it is that you're having, but I did find a few minutes to kick back, relax, and with a coconut full of filtered water to wish you a happy birthday properly. Uncle Jake sends his best. He told me to tell you that he's sorry he couldn't make it here in time to remind you that you're his older brother. And we were actually talking. We're kind of surprised that they're throwing you a party. We didn't think that they could find a cake big enough to hold all those candles. But all kidding aside, Dad, you're one of my idols. And here's another one that I picked up at the local market. You should be getting it in the mail soon. Seriously, Dad, happy birthday. I love you. You're my best friend, and I miss you already. Everybody else, I love you and miss you just as much. Have a great time at the party. I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but there are a few people here who really need my help. And speaking of which, I do need to get back to work. So take care, everyone.